B65. Number 2B.
We should only use a language that the nomads were using 3,000 years ago. Because they who wrote the Bible, they had inspiration from God, therefore they used that language which they had from God, and therefore that these are the archetypal language and that this is the language we should teach and talk. That was a great question at one time when I began to introduce new terms like information, like cybernetics, like structure, like synergy, and like gestalt and so on. We can't do that. We have to go on and not back. The point is only, and that's naturally the danger, that we may be too much interested in the technicalities of the definitions. What we have to see is that a new period, like the 6,000 and 7,000 year period, that demand a different frame of consciousness, that we must have different terms to define it or to express, or let's say not even to define it, but at least to symbolize it, so that when we talk, we know what the other one is talking. You see? We are talking about serendipity and all these things. We have to know what they mean, and then can see that the meaning of these new terms, which Mrs. Eddy did not know at that time, and which were not used at that time, that the meaning of it is already in the textbook. I remember one thing that stood out in my mind. Well, sometimes it's nice to have an individual experience or so. I remember in the 50s, beginning of 60s, I was always taken by what Mrs. Eddy says, that she, at one place, she speaks about the science that governs these changes. I mean, she was talking about the science of marriage, she was talking about the science of medicine, the science of healing, the science of mind, and here suddenly she's talking about the science that governs changes. Now, what is the science that governs changes? That's cybernetics. But at her time, that term was not known. That term was given in the 40s by Professor Wiener, and he, for the first time, had a calculating machine and brought forth the cybernetic machines that he called it cybernetics, the science of steering information. And Mrs. Eddy didn't know that term. Why on earth should we talk in the language of the Bible? Did Mrs. Eddy do that? Is there a term in the Bible, a place in the Bible where she speaks about principle, the term idea, the term system, the term calculus? Is there anything, the term matrix? It isn't in the Bible. There are thousands of terms that Mrs. Eddy used that are not in the Bible. And because 100 years ago there was another language than today, that doesn't say that we should not use the language of today. But we should know what we're talking about. That we should know.
It's illustrated with the new terms coming out regarding the computer.
Oh, think of it, huh? Think of it. Yeah. Don't they say that if Shakespeare would read the Wall Street Journal, he wouldn't understand it? That his language was so different that he couldn't read the Wall Street Journal. We are living in a different age. Let's go further and see what structuralism means. Well, the ism is always the theory of what goes before. So structure as a theory, structure as a science, is structuralism. And what is it? Is that method of procedure... Look here what Amar says, Professor Amar. It's that method of procedure. You proceed, you make a process in your mind which transforms every problem into a structural problem. That's the opposite of taking every problem and analyzing it into its parts. What we had at the beginning, the classical way of scientific research was also thinking was always to take something, a problem, and analyze it into its parts. But structuralism says no, the very opposite. You take that very problem, and before you can know what that problem really is, you have to first put it into a bigger frame of reference, into a structural problem. Isn't it? Isn't that what ecology does today? That they always put something in a bigger frame of reference. So just as we had today, where we said, well, today we are living in a special age. What is today? Well, we can't say, well, today is the 18th of June, and so on and so on. We measure that according to the sun, and so on and so on. Now we put it into a bigger frame of reference. Say, I put it into the whole history of the spiritual idea, into the 1,000-year period. Then I put it into our categories. And say, there it is. So I make out of the problem of today, first, a structural problem. Say, it is the 7,000-year period. What is that 7,000-year period? We will often see and say, this distinguishes itself from the 6th and from the 5th and from the 4th and so on. Yes? Can you get that? The reasoning, the science, how one reasons scientifically. We go to the next one. In structuralism, the object itself and its various constituents are seen as point of intersection of multitudinous systems of reference. Perhaps this is a bit more difficult to understand, and yet we have done that since Berkeley. Huh? Since Berkeley. Those who have been in Berkeley, they know through what hell they have gone through there. Huh? I still wonder how those people survived at that time. There we did this very point, that we said that he took the whole chart and said, well, what is the word, say, in divine science? So what you have is actually what he says here. They are points of intersections. A point of intersection of the word, verticals, huh? And divine science on the horizontal, and where they meet, the word, divine science, there is a point of intersection. That point of intersection is not a thing. It's a relationship of those two. Huh? It's a relationship. And so we say, okay, I can define that relationship as what? The one life. Huh? We had in the chart. So, again, you can see that objects are not material objects anymore. They are resolved into a point of intersection. And the point of intersection is what? It's the crossing of two categories. You have a crossing of the category of the word and the category of divine science. These are two different categories. But you can combine them to a system. You get point of intersections. Or let's go further. We have here another definition. Structuralism is a mode of thought. So it's a way of thinking. See, it has nothing to do with things that are structured, huh? Not with a building that have a structure. It's a mode of thought. Structuralism constitutes essentially a method. Can you see? It's a method, a way of proceeding. How do we proceed? If we have a problem, how do we proceed? Are we going to analyze it, or are we going to put into a higher frame of reference, into being, into the one being, finally? By method is meant any set of rules or regulations which describe and prescribe the operations to be performed upon any matter, with the purpose of ordering it and understanding its working. Well, this is a bit the long one. We go to the next one, to Piaget, which Piaget is, Jean Piaget is a genius. He was a genius, he's no more here, but he was a genius, you know. At the beginning, he was a biologist or something like that. And have you ever heard that story of Piaget? He was 12 years old, and because he was a genius, he was writing a paper on some kind of plant, something which he found was very new and so on. And in order to know, because his teacher wouldn't understand anyway what he was doing, he sent it to a museum, a natural history museum. And they looked into it, and they wrote back that the post of a director of the museum is free if you would like to accept it. Well, this is just to show the caliber he has. I think he was 18, he was professor or so. Well, he really put the whole thing in a nutshell. That's why we want to read this perhaps a bit more in detail. He said, a structure is a system of transformations. Can you see? A structure is not static. See, from our ordinary concept, everyday language, we say this is a nice structure when we look at the high rise or so, and its structure for us usually is static, because we consider it as a structure of things. Whereas structuralism, as a new theory, is actually a structure or a system that of relationships. And therefore, we can, because they are not things, we can transform them. How? Inasmuch as it is a system and not a mere collection of elements. Can you see again? It's not a mere collection of elements. So we can really gather together all the information of the textbook, of the Bible, of Mrs. Eddy, of the movement, can collect them together and don't know a thing about it except we put them into a structure. And so it is not the mere collection of elements and their properties. These transformations involve laws. Now again, it's not free, it's not at random. We cannot combine at random. In structuralism, you just can't say, well, now I combine the synonymous term the way I like, and this is new, and nobody has ever talked about it, so here it is, something wonderful. You can't. It involves laws. The structure is preserved or enriched by the interplay of its transformation laws. Gosh, you know, if we have time for a few years, I can show you that. All I have been doing since 20 years is showing this very thing, of taking the structure, say, of the chart, and just transform that chart according to laws. And every time you get something new. For instance, something you can easily understand. Easily understand. You know the structure of the textbook. It's a matrix of 4x4. Yes? But you also know, for instance, the minor prophets. There are 60 prophets, 12 minor, 4 big ones, constituting the prophetic age, 16 books. And you can put that into a matrix 4x4. Now, there are two matrices, both are 4x4. Why are they not equal? Beg your pardon?
I don't hear
you. Oh, sorry. Tell me when I'm not speaking loud enough or clear enough. So the question is, why are they not equal? Why are they not the same if it is a 4x4? Both are a 4x4. Yeah?
They have a different overriding structure to override a category. One has a category of the Christ and another category of science.
Yes. Can you see? That's what they say, what he says here. Piaget says, you can have a four, in our language, a 4x4, but you can transform one into the other by just using a law that stresses, say, the Christ instead of Christianity or instead of science. So you can have a 4x4 matrix dominated by the general character of the whole, which can be what? Can be either the Word, or can be the Christ, like in the prophets, or can be Christianity, like in the epistles, or can be science, like in the textbook. So outwardly they are the same 4x4, form them by shifting the accent from one category to the next. Is that clear? So can you see that if we have a very spiritually refined consciousness of what the four are, just the four, and know, for instance, what the Word, Christ, Christianity and science is, and know their difference, then if that culture consciousness takes the 4x4 and puts it into an aspect of the Word, we transform that 4x4 into a new 4x4 without hurting the system. On the contrary, by elaborating that system or embellishing that system, by putting a new accent on it, like the Word, or putting the accent on the Christ, like in the prophets, or accent on the Christianity, like in the epistles, or on science, like in the textbook. Can you see? With this, you see what I want to say? You don't need another knowledge, another factor of knowledge. You use the same one, the Word Christ Christianity, and Word Christ Christianity making a matrix, then taking again what you already know, namely the Christ, and say, I take the Christ as the dominating factor of the whole thing, and then I get the prophet matrix. You see, you don't need any further element. Is that the right term I can use? See, that what I said before, we do not enlarge, so to say, our understanding by adding, but by taking what is there and just transform them. Did I make it clear? Are you quite sure that I made myself clear? You see, with four elements, you can cover really the whole thing. Huh? Naturally, you can go on and can say, well, I can also put, say, another category as the overall tone. Instead of the Word or the Christ or Christianity or science, I can put, for instance, mind as the category of the 4x4, and put the 4x4 under the aspect of mind. Can you see? So again, you only use what is already in the chart, and you get the mind matrix, which you have in the new book. Huh? The new book, you have the whole mind matrix, and the spirit matrix, and the soul matrix, and the principle, and the life and truth, love matrix, in the blue book, in the synonym book. Can you see, with solely, always with your same few elements, with the 7 and the 4 and the levels, with those few elements you can take the oneness of one being, capital B, the one being, capital B, and transform that capital B into infinite beings with a small b, and every small being in a matrix. With how many? 7 and 4? 8? How much? 15? With 15 root notions. That's not very much, huh? 15.
Better than any science.
Yeah. Isn't it terrific? Can you see what structuralism means? You don't add anything, and yet you create constantly something new without adding, by transforming. Yeah? So that's what he says here, you see. Let's just read again after the first full stop. Inasmuch as it is a system, it's a system. We said Christian Science is reduced to a system. It's to the four and the seven and the four. It's a system and not a mere collection of elements. It's not a collection of elements. Can you see? Every new matrix that we have done is not, there is not a single new element in it. But these transformations involve laws. That's important. We can't transform them just blindly. We really have to put them under laws and say, all right, if I put the 4x4 under the word, for instance, then I must obey the law that everything in that matrix has the word. Everything is dominated then by the general meaning of word. Or I make a blunder out of it. The structure is preserved. You see, the structure is preserved. It doesn't fall into pieces. Or it is enriched. It is enriched, that structure. The 4x4 is enriched by making a word matrix or a Christ matrix or a Christianity matrix. By the interplay of its transformation laws. I transform the 4x4 into the Christ 4x4, then into the Christianity 4x4. You know, we talk these things and think, well, that what has that still to do now with the Bible, with the Christianity? What has that to do with religion? What has that to do with being? It has all to do with being, because we can see today that dear God Almighty, since about 3,000-5,000 years ago, he had only one thing in view, to first show us the word matrix and the Christ matrix and the Christianity matrix and the science matrix. We didn't invent them. The prophets didn't invent them. The disciples didn't invent them. Mrs. Eddy didn't invent them. They were writers under orders. And listen what God Almighty was dictating them. It was the big boss that said, I'm going to show you the matrices, not we. So we don't need to be afraid to tackle such a question as we have nowadays, with structure and structuralism. We don't need to be afraid. It's God wanting us to do it, or he wouldn't have shown it. If he would feel we should keep our hands off, he wouldn't have shown it. But he showed it, that we stand for it and fight for it and present it and I give all our time and love to it and our patience to it until we get it. It goes on, gosh, it's a long sentence, which never yields results external to the system. We never go outside the system. The results are not outside the system. Neither the demonstration nor the understanding is outside the system. It's always inside the system. So, which never yields result external to the system, nor employ elements that are external to it. Gosh. See, I just see how the whole thing is under attack today. What Mrs. Eddy and what John Dawley say. By bringing in external categories. Trying to explain, see, being has three categories and some subcategories, I quite agree. But there are subcategories of the three main categories. And the moment we try to understand the textbook or Mrs. Zeddy's teaching by bringing in categories that are external to that system.
Okay.
We dilute it.
Excuse me, but what would be an external?
Well, there are many. There are many possibilities. You can bring in, for instance, language, categories of language, and explain through language, through combat, through categories of language. Because language is symbol, it's not category. And make deduction from language. You can bring in human categories. You can bring in moral categories, ethical categories. See? You can bring in all kinds of categories of the human mind. And then you dilute it at once. You have to stick to the system intrinsic categories. Is that a nice expression? To the system intrinsic categories and not to other categories.
I could ask you, as a rule of thumb right there, because I have this question often too, I answer with, you stick to the noumenon of the chart rather than the phenomena which you are gleaning from your research in input, because that's diluting the purity of the main system of reference. The divine system of reference. You can't dilute that.
Yes.
Because then you will, well, it's chaos.
Yeah.
But don't, is it right to use phenomena there rather than, and noumenon, rather than go into separate, like you were doing with language or material elements and that type of thing? And that, does that eliminate the necessity for going into that kind of explicative detail?
Well, I think it's always safer to stay with the simple. If once we have the three categories and call them what we call them, it's not. It makes it only diffuse it. The moment we try to take in another connotation or another language, another symbol. So if you have noumenon, well, what is a noumenon? The capitalized terms are noumenon for us. So why try another one, Why not stick to that,
I mean that.
Yeah.
I do stick to it.
Yeah, that's the...
So the opposite to that, then, is what I meant.
Yeah.
Phenomena. I mean, then, the dilution comes from dealing with phenomena instead of noumena. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. The moment you reason from phenomena, you are on the wrong track, yes.
Okay.